Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by NASSCA, that's NAASSCA. Known as the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charlie Stecker, and once again, it's Wednesday night with this special guest show night, and I am blessed to be your host. I do encourage you that if you'd like to be part of the panel, we would absolutely love to have you. And our call-in number for our panelists is 646-595-2118, and I'll repeat that again, 646-595-2118 is the number to call in if you'd like to be on the panel for the show. And you may be asking yourself, well, what exactly would I be calling for, and why do I want to be a panelist? What a great question. What you would do is, upon calling in, you will be afforded periodically throughout the show to have an interaction dialogue with our special guest. I do ask that if you do that and you come on as a panelist, that you limit your dialogue with our special guest to something that's pertinent to their story. There may be parts of your story that correlate, as another way to say it, with our special guest story, and that's good to do, and because it shows some understanding and sameness there, but I would ask you to please remember that tonight the story to share is about our special guests, and we want our special guests to know how special they are to us and the fact that they're here. So please call, again, 646-595-2118, and we will definitely get you on the panel. If you want to call in but you don't want to be on the panel, maybe you've never called into a show before. Maybe you're early in your recovery process. Maybe you're just getting started. But you want to call just so you get over that concern about doing that. Call in. Let my trailer, which is someone who will reach out to you when they're on here, and then we'll check to see who you are and get your name and your state, and let them know, hey, listen, I just want to listen tonight because I just want to make that first step of having my voice heard by at least making that call. But if you call in, you want to be a part of the panel, we'd absolutely love to have you because it would just be amazing to make that happen. So all of that being said, I will remind you periodically throughout the show what our guest call-in number is. And for those of you who may be listening to this at some time after the show has ended, again, I want to say to you, thank you for listening. And while you can't call in live to this show, you can call in Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and all the other time frames in between. We start these shows, and they go for 1.5 hours from that time. And we're always looking for panelists and or special guests. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights are our special guest show. So with all of that being said, it does appear I have two panelists in right now. I know one of them is via Skype because I know that because it always comes up with all ones. And I have another one from area code 651. I want to reassure you as well that if you do call in and we do not know who you are, we will not announce your full phone number on air, okay? We will no, my computer just stopped. Why is that happening? Okay, well, my computer decided it wants to reboot, and I will just have to overcome that issue, and I shall do that. In the meantime, let me log in somewhere else. Our special guest tonight comes to us from the great state of Wisconsin, and she's patiently waiting for me to do what I now need to do because my computer decided for some reason to reboot itself. And so now I need to bring up her biography, which I'm going to do here momentarily. I know it appears my co-host was attempting to log in as my computer decided to log out. But I will be right back on. I'm not off the air. I know that. But I will be right back into the studio so I can go ahead and get our special guest in here. And again, our wonderful special guest who's patiently waiting. Thank you for your continued patience as I get this part of the process in place. I don't know who's going to win, my computer booting back up or my phone getting me the information I need. It would appear that the phone may win, although I'm not certain of that as of yet. Yep, it is. Okay, so here we go. I am going to go ahead and introduce the biography of our special guest tonight, and then from there we will go on and introduce the panel. Why am I having a hard time seeing this? You know what? The devil is a liar. I will overcome these adversities. I always do. And come on. There we go. Okay. So tonight's special guest is none other than Dina Culver. She is from Appleton, Wisconsin. Dina is a survivor of child abuse and neglect, as well as a photographer, artist, writer, actress, producer, and director. Wow, folks. Did you hear that list? She grew up in a few foster homes and then was returned to her biological parents. However, her mother was addicted to prescription medication. Dina relates to us that she grew up mentally, emotionally, and physically abused. She was told she was ugly, useless, worthless, wished she was dead, and so many more horrific things. She definitely had a hard time trying to figure out where she belonged in the world. Sadly, she also attempted suicide. And I'll add this part in, gratefully, she wasn't successful. She tried that a few times in her life, and she dealt with a lot of hardships. She used to get bullied in school, harassed in the workplace, and she's had to manage silently. It hasn't been easy for her. However, she has fought hard to break the stigmas and statistics surrounding mental illness, child abuse, neglect, teen parenting, domestic violence, addiction, and homelessness, just to name a few. She is definitely not perfect, as she says, and she doesn't even pretend to be. However, she does try to be the best version of herself that she can be at any moment in time, with a great deal of work and dedication to survive, and not just survive, but also thrive, especially for the sake of her three daughters and her grandchildren. Dina writes poetry and has published a book. It is titled Opened Boxed Poetry. Open Boxed Poetry, folks. And we are going to have Dina share with us where we are going to get a copy of that book, because I know we want it. She is also an inspirational, motivational speaker for the life experiences she has been through. She closes with this on her biography. We're getting ready to bring her onto the show here shortly. She closes with this saying, "Your courage is your strength, and your strength is your courage, because it's tough each day without both." I'm going to repeat that because that's powerful. Your courage is your strength, and your strength is your courage. Folks, what an amazing show I know we're going to have tonight. I look forward to hearing what Dina has to share with us. I do see that I have two people in the queue who have called in, and I will be momentarily getting to them as my computer is coming back up, unless my co-host has gotten that. Nope, not yet, so that's okay. I actually have three callers. So, Dina, I am going to do what I told you prior to the show. I'm going to bring on our callers and get who they are, and then begin to get you on the show. Again, thank you for your patience during my technical difficulties on my end. All right, so let's see here. Right now I'm operating from my little phone, so my computer is fully up and booted, and it should be there in a sec or two. All right, so let's turn this off. I know that is it. Okay, first one I'm going to bring on is area code 651. I'm going to fire up your mic. What I'm going to ask you to do is just let me know your first name and where you're from. Okay, area code 651. I have you on. What is your first name and where are you from, area code 651?
Hi, this is Elizabeth. I'm out of Minnesota.
Well, hello, Elizabeth from Minnesota. Thank you very much for calling in this evening and being patient during our technical difficulties here. We just went through a pretty bad flooding yesterday in our area, and a lot of things are going haywire with technical stuff. So in the meantime, I truly appreciate it. Have you ever called into the show before?
Yeah, I actually used to help host a few years back, and I just had some things going on in my life that I need to pay attention to, so I had to back away from some of the volunteering. But it's been a while, and I wanted to come on board tonight, and especially this gal coming out of Appleton, Wisconsin. I thought she lived so near, I wanted to be on and hear her story.
Well, wonderful. And thank you so much, Elizabeth, for calling in, for your past work with NASCA. And I'll just throw a little quick public service announcement. We are in need of hosts or co-hosts and other volunteers with NASCA. So if that's something that your time allows these days, we're more than happy to have a conversation. If not, hey, reach out anyway, call in like you did. We truly appreciate you being here. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic. Now, I'm going to go to the person I believe is coming in from Skype. I believe I know who it is, but I'm not going to announce it without having them tell me who it is. Okay, all ones, who we have there?
Hey, Charlie, this is Johnny Rock from Louisiana.
Hey, that's exactly who I thought it was. That's who. All right, Johnny, thank you so much for being here tonight. Are you fulfilling the role of trailer tonight?
Yes, I am. In fact, she reached out to me, our ambassador from Washington State, and asked me to fill in for her tonight. So that was I appreciate her contacting me to make sure that we had a decent panel tonight for Deanna.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you being here, and it's great to know that one of my other fellow brothers and all of our sisters out here on NASCA is here with us. So, Johnny, thank you so much for calling in. You know the routine. You know how we do things. So we will we'll get things rolling. All right?
And hello. Yes, and hello to Elizabeth.
Absolutely. And I'm putting her information in right now. All right. So let me get down to area code 207. I realize I probably should know who you are. I apologize. I do not have my list in front of me. Area code 207, who do we have there?
This is Kathy in Maine. Called to hear your always upbeat voice tonight, and I look forward to it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kathy in Maine, and my upbeat voice, I guess. Well, thank you so much for being here. Now, Kathy, are you our ambassador from Maine?
No, I'm just from Maine.
Okay. Well, you're not just for me, and you're an important integral part of this. I truly appreciate you calling in and sharing this evening with Dina as she prepares herself to share her story with us.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you again, Kathy. You know how we do this. You've been honest with us before. So we're going to go ahead and mute your mic and get ready to bring on Dina. Dina, are you ready, young lady? Are you ready to share your story? I know you are, like never before. What I want to tell you before I fire up your mic is you are in a safe place. You are not required to share anything that you're not comfortable sharing, and you're welcome to share anything that you are. So with that all being said, let's get Dina on here. She says, Charlie, you're talking too much. Hello, Dina, and welcome.
Hello. Hello from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yes. And so welcome. And is this your first time on one of NASCA's shows?
On your show, yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here.
I've been on a different one before. Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so absolutely. So this isn't your first time sharing your story publicly, but it is your first time on NASCA.
And I haven't shared my story this way before. I was on a different radio show for kids being bullied in school and suicide prevention.
Oh. Wonderful. Well, as I said, as I was reading your, and I hope I did justice to your biography by how I read it. But as I did read that part about attempted suicide, I myself, if I'm a failure in anywhere in my life, that's where I've been a failure, attempted suicide. So I think it's not a bad thing to be a failure at, right?
No, it's not a bad thing. I'm glad you are here.
And likewise, otherwise we wouldn't be having this conversation. And then what would the people be listening to? So you
I'm
will find,
to inspire.
Dina. I'm getting a feeling you will. I was inspired by just what I read. And you'll find that, yes, I bring laughter and humor into our work. I do realize and absolutely understand and respect the fact what we talk about is serious. It can actually trigger some people. But I think with a little bit of humor, we kind of find ways to overcome those things. But welcome. I'm excited to be your host tonight. Shut me up at any time. Take over, share your story. If you need me to guide you along the way, I can do that. If you don't need that, then take it away.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind guiding me, if you see me stumbling or mixing up my words or becoming silent because I had a moment of, whoops, I can't remember what I was going to say. That would be great.
Hey, I have this all the time. I call them senior moments too early, but I understand. So I'll give you kind of, here's what I'll do then, Dina. I'll give you kind of, because you did say this is your first time actually in this type of venue sharing. When people who haven't shared before like this, usually we say, hey, if you want to start off in the beginning, like maybe some of your childhood, we did explain some of that in your bio, but you can expound on that and, you know, your early stage life. And then 15, 20 minutes, again, no timer on to make sure it's in that time frame. But then we'll bring in each panelist and they'll interact with you. And then from there, we would go to, like, into your maybe your teen years, if that's where you want to be, and then another break, and then your college and or post-high school years, whatever direction you went in, and then another break. And then, the last half hour, and I tell you what, an hour and a half sounds like a long time, not once the show starts. It blows right by. But then the last, at the end, most of the time, we will have, where are you today? What are you doing? And I'm really excited to hear about the open-boxed poetry. But does that help you at least give you some guidelines and some idea how to begin?
Yes.
Wonderful. So tell me, Dina, what was Dina's childhood from your perspective? Because you lived it, and I see here you – and I will interject from time to time, and I'll give you some going stuff, some start-off stuff. So I read here that you were in foster homes, and by the way, I'm a foster care alumni myself, and that you were returned to your biological home. Apparently both parents, correct? Okay, because I too am a member of that club, except I was returned to just my mother because my mom and dad had divorced many years before I was returned back. And mom apparently had some addiction issues to the medication. So with that being said, I'm going to be silent and allow you to expound on wherever you are with that.
Okay, I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for calling in. I hope that to be able to inspire. And if for any reason there is any triggering whatsoever, please reach out to me on Facebook and I will help you through it. I am hoping that what I have to say will help you find your courage and strength to continue on in life and find things that help you. Because, yes, I know it can be a tough road, but I believed so much in breaking the stigma and the statistics, because you don't have to continue on what you went through. So I'm going to start around age 5 or 6. I was in a few foster homes, and there was mental, emotional, and physical abuse in the foster homes. I remember walking to school in the alleys of Chicago and getting to school to have small boxes of cereal, which they still have on the market to this day. And sometimes before school, we'd also make toast, and the foster parents would burn the toast. I don't know why, but they did. And would put peanut butter on the toast for us kids, in which to this day, if I smell burnt toast, rather it was myself that accidentally let it go, or if I smell it from somebody else that made toast, it brings me back, takes me back to those days in foster care. Sometimes I wonder if it's something that I guess it's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of like I enjoy the smell of it sometimes, but I don't enjoy the memory.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Sometimes there's a delay between when we talk, but I just want to relate with you in that portion. I think it's interesting that you find that smell, the smell brings you some level of comfort, but at the same time, there's the other stuff that comes along with it, whatever those experiences you had in foster care. I, too, have a similar thing, but it's with milk. And for me, it's like, oh, it's repulsive. I can't even touch milk because of my experiences. But please continue to share it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I can't eat burnt toast anymore because of that. But when I smell it, it's a different reaction. So, and then in foster homes, in one of the foster homes, they had us sleeping naked, me and my siblings. We used to take baths with girls and boys. I remember always looking out my bedroom window, wondering why I was there and what was wrong with me for being there. My siblings and I were taken from my biological parents for neglect and abuse. However, the state gave us back to our biological parents, which I still think to this day was a horrible mistake. I would have rather stayed in foster homes and go through what I was going through than to be back with a mother that I repeatedly told me that she hated me and wished I was dead. So there's a little, it's kind of like you don't want to go through all this stuff with your own biological parents. You don't want to go through it in foster care, but I would have rather stayed there and had to go through it than to be back with my own parents, knowing that my mother hated me and that she was abusive towards me and my siblings.
Can I share some insight with you, maybe? That area?
Yeah.
I so relate to what you just said. I, too, after 10 years in foster care for me, was returned to my, as I said, my biological mother. And I, too, wish that, boy, I wish they had left me where I was. But my mother, too, would say she wished I was dead. I can still relate to all that. But here's what I learned. That's okay. Maybe who I am today. Would I want to do it over again? Okay. No, but you know what? It blessed me to be where I am today. So. But what I want to say to you is this. I don't believe either of our mothers really wished we were dead. I really think that they didn't know how to do anything. They probably wished it on themselves because, you know, maybe I'm giving them too much leeway, but maybe somewhere inside their mind, they didn't know what to do. And so us not being in their presence would just, in their mind, make their life a little easier. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. And again, continue to share. Thank you. And so your foster care, you did experience some abuse and neglect in foster care as well. You shared a toast story with us. I happen to have, my foster care experience, it's funny when people hear it, they go, oh, my God, that's terrible. But I only had a 13-day bad experience out of my 10 years in foster care. I had 10 other wonderful years. Yeah, but that 13 days was enough to change a lifetime. But in the meantime, so you're in foster care. Go ahead.
Like you said, it made you who you are today too. And that's somebody that should, you know, you should be proud of that, where you've come and how far you've come because of where you've been. And
absolutely.
There were days like growing up, I was living.
I was just going to say, and you can probably identify, or at least I identify too, with where you were talking about, and I think this is important for our listeners to hear, and that's why I apologize for interrupting you, and I'll be quiet of this, that, you know, it would have been almost more understanding or be able to deal with if you were getting rejected by someone who was quasi a total stranger as known as foster parent, as opposed to going to someone who carried you in their womb for those months and then birthed you and having that constant rejection and abuse from them. I mean, I can identify with that as well.
Yes, but I managed to get through it. I've got my own ways to manage through it. And growing up, you know, I was living day to day with abuse. And I'd like to share some personal stuff that are my, I mean, I sometimes will have nightmares. I will sometimes think to myself, I can't believe I made it. You know, it's like, wow, how did I get this far? But all that I've been through has made me who I am as well. And so when I was younger, I used to wet the bed, and each time my mother would rub my face in it. It was punishment for wetting the bed. Sometimes she wouldn't allow me to shower, so I'd go to school smelling, which I'd in turn get bullied for smelling, as well as if I was abused, you know, physically abused, and you can see it on my face or somewhere, I'd get, you know, bullied because of that too. So I used to try to hide my bedding to not get in trouble. However, the torturous abuse just kept going more and more, no matter how hard I tried to be good. And on one occasion, amongst many others, one being when I was about 12 years old, I was crying so hard and looking at my father, asking for help with him not giving any, but just looking over at him as I was laying on the living room floor. And my mother was putting a diaper on me. And she said that was the way to get me to stop wetting the bed. And to me, it was embarrassing because, you know, I'm about 12 years old. I'm in the living room. My father's right there. And my mother's slapping my behind because I'm struggling. I want to break free. I can't believe I'm getting a diaper put on me at, you know, preteen ages, you know. And so that devastated me, and still to this day, it still haunts me sometimes as far as nightmares and that, but it is what it is, you know. It still bothers me in a way to this day, because as my own children were growing up, changing their diapers when they were growing up, every single time it just took me back to those times when I was about 12. So it's kind of like, you know, you got the trigger in your brain telling you this and this. It's like a recording in your brain, and you just can't erase it. It just keeps getting piled on with more and more stuff. So I did everything I possibly could to not wet the bed, but unfortunately, for whatever reason I was. And when I was born at 2 pounds, and my twin sister was 2 pounds. And through the years, my mother used to always tell me, I wish you were dead. I wish your twin sister was alive. I wish, you know, that you weren't here. You killed your sister. And I heard that my whole childhood, that I killed my twin sister. I killed her. And I really thought I did. It just took a toll on me for so many years that, oh, my God, I killed my sister, my own twin sister. And it's to the point where I was like 19 years old, and, you know, I realized, oh my gosh, I didn't kill my sister, because she was only 3 days old when she passed away. But because my mother kept telling me that, I thought that, and her wanting me dead and hating me, it just added more to it. So I hated myself.
Sure.
And it was really hard.
Sure, yeah, and I can hear it in your voice, and I can feel it. And again, man, I, are you sure you're not my sister? Because, you know, I too, and I've never said this, Dean, and I want to tell you, you at the outset of the show, you said you hope that your story, or what you're going to share with us tonight, would, I'll use the word empower, or get someone to share, or at least find their beginning and their path. And I'm preparing myself right now to share something I have never shared with anyone anywhere. And I've been talking about what I've been going through, what I went through for over 30 years, but I never shared it. And what you did tonight.
Please share it. No judgment here. Please share. If you want
absolutely.
To, by all means, you know, no
and
judgment here.
Tonight, I'm with you.
And
so here it is.
If you need to talk about it more, you can always find me and we can talk through things.
Yeah, absolutely. But here it is. I, too, had a bedwetting problem all the way up until I was literally in the military. And I, too, had a mother that would do some things worse than what you went through, but very similar. And I'm sure you went through more than what you shared with us, because there's so many different things that happened with that dynamic. And so I truly understand from my perspective and my experience what you were dealing with there, and how traumatic that had to have been, and how it still has brings trauma to you. And then you spoke too of having a sister that was called home before their time, or before we think their time is. Only the Creator knows when our time is or isn't. I too have a brother that was called home before his time. And I too carried the moniker for the majority of my life, because I was the older brother, that I should have mm-hmm. been able to do more, when reality mm-hmm. is just you. It wasn't a darn thing we could do because we were little kids ourselves. So I wanted to share that with you, because I identify with a lot of what you're talking about. But thank you for allowing me to interrupt. I want to let you to go ahead and take some more time to share more of your portion if you're ready. And then we'll mm-hmm. go into the panel.
Okay. Yeah, with my twin sister, she was 3 days old. Her heart wasn't fully developed, so that's the reason why she passed away. Myself, we both were 2 pounds, and my mother didn't carry us to term. And so I was sick with pneumonia. My lungs weren't developed and things like that, too. So it was a tough start. And then I've come to realize that I'm living for my twin sister, too. I've come to realize possibly that she may not have been able to get through the things that we would have gone through together with my mother or the foster families, and that God took her home for a reason, and it's okay. And even though the pain is still deep for being told what I was told growing up, I understand that she passed away, and I can live for her as well. So I'm living for me and her.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you real quick. You know what you got that day when God called her home? You have, just like I did, a special guardian angel assigned to you for the rest of your life. So she's been there through thick and thin with you.
And that could be why I see hearts everywhere. I take pictures of hearts of everything I see of hearts, and just out of the blue, it could be just the simplest, I don't know, drop of water, something on the ground outside or something, or a shadow. Hearts are what I see. So I have a feeling that somebody's watching over me. And as the years went on with the mental, emotional, and physical abuse, I would go to school and hide myself somewhere in the school, because either I smelled or whatever I wore, or I had bruises. I didn't want kids to pick on me, so I tried very hard to just be a nobody. And knowing that nobody wanted to be friends with me was another reason. And then I started using marijuana and alcohol and prescription drugs in middle school. And then I would steal my father's beer out of the closet, and I would drink it on the way to school. And I'd have a couple cans on my way to school, because I used to walk to school. And that was my way of hoping that I'd be numb for the day, so that I didn't have to be living at home and what I was going through. I don't know how I didn't get caught, but I didn't get caught. But those were some times that were pretty hard for me, and that's when I started using. And then throughout my childhood, you know, with my mother saying, I wish you were born, I wish you were never around, you killed your twin sister, I hate you, you're a whore, you're a B-I-T-C-H, and a disgusting nobody, amongst other things. My first attempt at ending my life was in middle school by walking with my hands over my eyes onto a busy road. And, well, I survived it. And I hated myself so much, and just knowing that my mother did too only destroyed me more with the daily abuse I endured. So throughout middle school and high school, I really didn't have friends. However, when I did have one friend, or sometimes two friends, to this day I say, unfortunately, my mother friended my friends, and they were her children instead of me. So in other words, she would treat them better than she would me. And I used to get jealous all the time, because I'm like, why is my friend getting this and getting your attention, and you're not hitting them or calling them names or abusing them, but you're doing this to me. So then what I ended up doing was starting to dance in gymnastics in the backyard, and I'd listen to music all the time, and that was my go-to escape, dancing in gymnastics in the backyard. And so I always told myself that, you know, dancing is basically me being free from the abuse, and
absolutely.
I was outside doing it. I knew that my parents wouldn't allow me to be in gymnastics or dance. My mother refused to let us get into sports or music, and so I remember in middle school I hid that I was in track and field, so I knew exactly how long it would take me to walk home, and I knew exactly what time my mother would be up, and I knew, you know, when I needed to be home, and I also knew that, okay, I can maybe run this track for my team, but then I have to run home. So I hid that for a long time doing track and field, but I wasn't able to go and literally compete. But at least I got to do things at school without my mother knowing until she found out. And then guess what? You know, she pulled me out of it, you know. But
oh, I'm telling you, we're like twin miles apart. I understand.
Yeah,
how do you feel? Absolutely. How do you feel about now? We go on and we do a round with the panel, or if you're not ready for that, that's okay as well. It's up to you.
Okay. I think I'll go a little further to where I kind of am, to where I kind of ended up becoming more and more aware of my surroundings and things like that. With all the stuff my mother put me through, you know, that was just part of the story. You know, it's not everything. It's just a small insight of what it was like to live at home. And my father always worked, and to them, what happens at home stays at home. They don't believe in counseling. They don't believe in anything else. So it was hush, hush, and whatever happens at home, that's what it is. It doesn't go anywhere else. And there were times, like in middle school, and that the county would be called, but don't ask me how my mother was able to sweet talk her way through things, but they didn't take us out of the home, which I'm sorry, they should have, you know.
Uh-huh.
But at as I got older, we ended up moving from Illinois, because like I mentioned before, I was in foster homes in Chicago area. In 1985, we moved to Wisconsin. And we didn't know the family because everything was hush-hush and things were kept from the family. So we didn't, me and my siblings, think to have that connection with grandparents or anything like that, because it was kind of hush-hush and, you know, keep things secret, I guess. So growing up in that family environment, I was molested by my sister for a long time, and I really thought that that was normal, so I didn't say anything. I didn't know any different. I just thought, well, this is my sister. She knows more than I do. She's a little older than me. And still to this day, I can't get myself to a point where I can forgive her, because I haven't been able to open up about that yet, which I am, I think, basically for the first time on your show. And
wow.
The reason why I say that, and the reason why I'm saying it now, is because sometimes when children go through things, there's also sexual abuse in the family. And it was going on for a while, and I didn't tell my mother for the longest time. I told her, I think, when I was 15 years old, but I slightly mentioned it to her, and she got upset for a moment or two, told my father, but then it was never spoken about again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is what it is, and I have to continue to live, learn, and grow. That's another saying of mine, is I'm living, I'm learning, and I'm growing all the time.
Absolutely.
And And then when I was 16, I purposely got pregnant. And I thought I was madly in love. And we both came from troubled homes. And I really, really, really wanted someone to love me. And I thought, a baby is going to love me. Because nobody else did it. Nobody else cared. And I really was starting to think, you know, I'm just going to try killing myself. And then I talked to my boyfriend at the time, and we both just got pregnant. But unfortunately, I was living at home still. So the physical, mental, emotional abuse kept going on even while I was pregnant. So my pregnancy was very stressful. I lived at home. My boyfriend signed up for the military, so he went to boot camp. And then, you know, before he went to boot camp, we got married in August, August 8th, actually, of 1987, and I was still being abused on a daily basis. And on one occasion, when I was being beaten, I covered my stomach, and my mother told me that she was going to stick a coat hanger up me to kill my baby. And I'll never forget the fear I had for my child at the time of being beaten in the closet. And although I didn't understand what my mother was telling me about sticking a coat hanger up me to kill my baby, I really didn't understand it at 16. But
sure.
As I got older, I realized what it meant. And so, again, somewhere around 18 or 19, I was able to go to the library and research it, because back then we didn't have the computers and stuff, so you literally had to go and research. And it just devastated me all over again, put me back in that closet again. And I think out of everything that my mother has put me through as a child and even as an adult, that is probably one of the hardest things I think I'm going to have to work hard on to forgive for myself to move on, even if I can't forgive her. I got to figure out how to forgive for that. Because my daughter is going to be 33 this year, and she's made it
awesome
through some tough times too. But just as a kid, you know, when your mother's telling you, you know, I wish you were dead, I wish you were never born, you killed your sister, and then she's going to kill my baby, and the abuse kept going even onto my daughter. My mother even beat on my daughter, and which is like, unbelievably, like, why would you beating on your children is one thing, but come on, how can you continue and then beat on your grandchildren? You know, she and then I don't know, a couple of years back, I'm 50 now, and about 3 years ago I got in a fight with one of my sisters, and that was it. I had to get rid of the toxic in my life.
And
I had to walk away. I was like, I can't do this no more, because even to that day, 3 years ago, my mother was still mentally and emotionally abusive. And and when you're in that cycle, you know, it's really, really hard. And my father, to me, unfortunately, didn't have a backbone. He didn't protect us. So I confronted him, I want to say 2005, I confronted him and asked him, why did you leave us in that household when you went to work? Why didn't you divorce mom and go and raise us on your own? And my father finally broke and said, don't you think I know what your mother was putting you through? Don't you think I know, you know, I felt that you guys being abused. I mean, it was hard, but, you know, I'm sorry. I had to work. And that was my role to work. And you should have just listened to your mother at all times. You know, so I finally got him to say that. However,
sure.
To this day, he won't admit that he said that. You know.
Right, Val. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's been tough. It's been tough, but, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'm 50 years old. I've been working on myself for so many years. I want to say for the last 5-6 years, I have been working really hard on my mental illness. To keep it intact when I know, because I know what triggers me, I know what I need to do when it does, and also to try to heal and forgive ex-boyfriends, my ex-husband, my parents, foster parents, siblings, and it's not easy. I'm not 100% healed. I'm not 100% forgiving towards people yet, but I'm getting there. It's just going to take longer, and that's okay. We're all a work in progress. We're all, you know.
And actually,
okay.
You may never end. What's that?
It's to me, it's just a work in progress.
Absolutely. I wanted to say, and you and the rest of us may never get there. The keys are continuing our process along the way for that destination. And there's times that one step forward is going to be two steps back, and that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's a whole mile behind and then trying to get back
right up.
And I remember another time when I was a young mother, my husband at the time, which he's my ex-husband, but the father of my oldest daughter, I remember one incident where he took his shotgun to my neck and he was going to kill me. And I was trying to protect my daughter because he was abusive towards me, and he was abusive towards our daughter too. And she was so young, but yet he was beating on her. So I tried to get him to stay and beat on me instead of her. But on one occasion, when he took a shotgun to my neck and threatened to kill me, I ended up turning my body around and I sat on the couch because that's where the phone was. And instead of calling 911, I pushed redial because that way he wouldn't have heard me dialing 911. So I figured one button is better than three buttons. So I hit redial, and it was my mother. So my mother and my father came. Yeah, my mother and father came to me, and my mother came upstairs, saw that I had been thrown into the cat box because my husband at the time picked me up and was, you know, beating me and threw me across the room, and I hit the cat box. So I was trying very hard to clean up that kitty litter, and it wasn't working very well. And my mother walked in, and then I'll never forget my father saying to me outside, "What did you do to get him mad?" And so to this day, I can't believe that he said that to me, but he did. I'm like, what? And you're supposed to love me, care about
me.
You know? So, and it's like, okay. And when my father first found out about me being raped, because I told him after so long, he's like, well, what do you want me to do about it?
Wow.
Why can't my father just love me enough to care about anything? It's horrible.
It is.
I put my father on a pedestal because he worked so hard to have a home over our heads, food on the table, clothes on our back. So he worked a lot of hours in construction. He really worked hard, but he was hardly home.
Right.
And but he knew this stuff was going on, but yet didn't stop it either. And yet he stayed with my mother, and he still stayed with my mother till this day. And it's like, but where's your backbone to protect your children? You didn't do that. You didn't even protect your grandchild from being abused. You know, so it's kind of like to this day, I'm kind of like, you know, as much as I miss my dad and I want a relationship with him, I can't do it. I won't do it because I know he's not going to meet me halfway.
Right. And ultimately, your healing, your journey is what you need to do to protect yourself. I understand. Are you okay now with going into the panel? It's your show. You tell me what you want to do.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yes. I did want to mention a few more things, but we can do that later on too. That's fine.
And it may actually come in as the panel is interacting with you. We never know. Sometimes that happens.
Okay.
So
okay.
All right. So let's go ahead and get Elizabeth on with you. Okay. Elizabeth, you are on with Dina.
Hi, first of all, I just have to say thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing
your
story. Absolutely.
Definitely.
But there was several things that you had mentioned that I could relate to so much. And I just, my heart went out to the little girl in you. I just wished I could put my arm around you and give you a squeeze. But
well, you know
so
what?
Many things.
This is what I'll say to you, to Elizabeth. Take your right hand, put it on your left shoulder. Take your left hand, put it on your right shoulder. Hug and squeeze. There's a hug through the miles for you.
Mm, thank you. But there is so many things I could relate to in the things that you're saying. I'll just go through it real quick, but I too, you mentioned the wedding and this and that. And I know that for abuse survivors, that's I think that can be a real common thread, and that's also a sign of abuse for many kids is bedwetting. Also, the fact that you're talking about foster care and some of the issues that come about with foster care, it's so much needed that we have discussions on this. So I really appreciated that. The desire of being 16 and wanting somebody to love you. I did the same thing. I ended up losing my baby, but same thing at 16. And because I wanted that love. And if there was a way to pick the worst people possible to be around, that's what I did. I picked. So I, too, ended up being in a domestic relationship, several of them, married for 25 years. It was an abusive situation. And so I can relate there. I had to comment about your dad, and because my heart really went out to that. And I think so many times as survivors, we hope that the people that we think should love us the most will come around and put their arms around us and be that support system that, frankly, we deserve. And for so many survivors, we just don't get that. And I just want to say, when you say, you know, why couldn't my dad just love me back? My heart goes out to you, especially in that moment, because I know what it's like to not get that support. And that is more to do with their dysfunction than anything that could ever possibly be with you. That's a dysfunction that unfortunately a lot of us are born into. And for most survivors, I think a large majority can relate to the fact that they have family members and loved ones that didn't rally around them like they had hoped and frankly know that they would do themselves, that they would be the ones supporting. You would support your children. I would support mine. But it's a dysfunction that the parents, the families are part of. And unfortunately, a lot of them don't get that. And I'll just finish up real quick. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But just, you know, knowing that the one in the family that actually breaks the abuse and swims against the flow of the rest of them and stands for truth, we're the ones that are going to be looked on by the dysfunctional members as the ones with the problem. But I have to tell you, I love the fact you're on here tonight. You've got an incredible amount of strength, and I just have to say thank you for allowing me to be part of your story.
Well, thank you so very much for those kind words.
Absolutely.
And please tell me that you're okay and you're not in the domestic abuse anymore. Please tell me that everything's
been out 2 years now. It's a very, very
nice,
tough journey, but like you, I'm healing, and I think all of us till the day we die are going to be healing and growing unlearning mm-hmm. things and learning new things. And so
well,
I really
appreciate
you. I'm so
proud of you for getting out. I'm so proud of
you.
Well,
thank
you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too.
Thank you.
Wow, what a powerful moment between a panelist and our special guest. Thank you, Elizabeth, so much for sharing what you shared. And we look forward to bringing you back on here in a little bit, okay? Truly appreciate
Absolutely.
You being here.
Thank you.
Johnny Rock. Yeah, Johnny Rock, you're coming up next, brother. Dina, this is Johnny Rock out of Louisiana. He's actually one of our ambassadors for the state of Louisiana.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. Hi, Deanna. It's Deanna, correct?
Hello. It's Dina, but you can say Deanna because it's spelled that way.
Okay. We pronounce everything different here in Louisiana.
That's okay.
I see that you are in the film industry, and In fact, we have a couple of mutual friends like Rebecca Kennedy and Derek Wayne Johnson. And mm-hmm. I was looking at your IMDb page, and I was curious. I was like, this is like a two part question, or maybe a seven part question. mm-hmm. Your production, A Girl Called It and A Bottle of Pills. I see that you also wrote that, the screenplay and the story. So I was one curious if that is based off of your life. And another part of the question is, do you believe that you went into this industry as an outlet of for therapeutic value because of what happened to you as a child? And are you using it as a platform for healing and for spreading awareness? There we go.
Well, thank you for the questions. Definitely. Yeah. That film that I wrote, it's, you know, most of the films, majority of the films that I write are about something that happened in my life. And I feel that if we don't speak up, things are going to stay silent. And then if they're silent, how are we going to break the statistics? How are we going to break the stigma? So I got into the film industry, and by all means, it's a very powerful thing to be in because you can tell the stories of real life situations, and hopefully, even if it's just one person that you can change something in their life for the better for themselves, it's all worth it. So I enjoy what I do. There's short films. There's nothing, nothing that's totally like 2 hours or anything, although we are working on some. But they are short films, and I'm hoping one day that they will be able to be available for people to view and see, and hopefully it'll change somebody's life. So I'm learning it as I go too, when it comes to a film. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the questions, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny. As always, what a natural radio voice he has, right, Dina? Man,
yes,
I'll tell
he
you.
Does. He definitely does. I mean, my goodness, he should be on radio. He should be doing things like that. Wow.
I said I used to be. I was in radio from 88 to 96.
Oh, wow. Well, you never know. You might be able to do it again, right?
Yeah, why not?
There you go.
There's no age limit on radio.
That's
there
right.
There you go, right? And there's
no dress
code either, Johnny. I love it.
You took my line.
And Johnny, I encourage you to look Dina up, and I encourage our other listeners to look Dina up on Facebook. She is available there, as she said to us earlier. I have gone ahead and looked at your profile, and I'm cleaning out some space for you, Dina. I'm usually at Facebook's limit of 5,000. And when I find someone I need that I know I need to be part of their network, I will go in and clean out some people who haven't been keeping in contact for a while. And my cutoff is if you haven't touched base with me in 5 minutes, then I probably don't need you around. But
well, hopefully one day our paths will cross. So
absolutely.
And they probably
have, for all you know. Absolutely, we might have, yeah, because we do. You and I, just like you and Johnny, have several friends, mutual friends that I've actually worked with in person outside of what I do every day. We do have another another caller waiting for us patiently.
Kathy
mm-hmm. from Maine. Kathy is on with you. Kathy, you're here with Dina.
Hi, Dina.
Kathy. Hi.
I think it's neat that you these outlets and creative outlets that you're doing. I haven't had the chance to look over some of the theatrical things and poetry. I love poetry. But I was fascinated in, many things. One of the things, as you grew and as you were telling us your story, how wise you were to see these things growing and to know how fast it was going to take you to get from there. And you know the exercise itself is going to get those internal things growing. So no matter what stress was around you, you really were a smart little cookie and took, took that strength, and it really, really... It really, really gave you a lot, and I know probably a lot of it's in hindsight, but I think that you saw it then, and that's great. I'm an incest survivor as well, so I know about rally around the rapist, and they're all after mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that's how that mm-hmm. goes. And but I did have a couple of, I would say, validations.
Well, I'm definitely glad that you are a survivor as well, and that you've made it through, and hopefully you're healing from that too.
Yeah, well, it's been over 50 years, and I've had a wonderful 30-year marriage, and
nice.
You know. And it's been good. So, but I was, you know, a little re-triggered when Mother decided to move into the rapist marital home when she's 90 and horrible years. So that kind of got me. And it was really kind of liberating to let them all have it. I didn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, hey, you were there. You watched him beat me. You screaming in the other room. Hope to God to kill you. Then I walked the eggshells. Mm-hmm. And you know,
mm-hmm.
but I took off too, and it wasn't until later that I got a lot of exercise and whatnot that I found was very, very helpful. But it took me hindsight to see that. I didn't see it then. It took me hindsight to see, you know, that was good that I was moving and dancing and swimming and working out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really good for your health and for your a way to get all that anxiety in a positive direction instead of a bad direction.
Yes.
And what a wise little cookie you are to do it young and take it with you all the way through. And
I've been fighting all my life to keep going.
Right. Well, do it or die trying, that's my motto. You had some nice ones too. I'd love to connect with you later. I'm going to have to I'll have to hear it on the tape later. But one more quick thing I wanted to say. One of the things also that I admire is that all the way through your whole story, you kept saying, as so many of the Nazca family do, but really, really beautifully, if I can help somebody, if I can do this for somebody, please to do something. What a giving, loving thing for you to say. And I think it's marvelous. And I think you're just marvelous.
Thank you so much for your kind words as well. Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to hook with you up later because I'm going to love to read poetry. I'll share one of mine or two. Today is a good one too. And films, wow, that's pretty cool. We were speaking on another group about how visual people are today. Now, you know, they probably call it child porn. But what do the people have to do? See this stuff with their own eyes? No, because that wouldn't even do it. You know it wouldn't do it.
Right.
It would. You gotta get it. If you don't get it, you're not gonna get it.
Just
the way it is. Anyway, I'm glad
you
survived.
Yep, but you know what? We all can learn from each other, though.
You betcha. And I'm gonna thank all of you for all of your input. And
thank you. Well, I am gonna share a poem or two tonight too.
I have to go, and I will definitely hear it again.
Okay.
But I know Charlie's gonna make sure we connect.
Yes, and definitely,
take
care of yourself and reach out if you need to talk about anything or if you're having a good day or you're having an off day.
Don't say that. Don't say that. This is a chatty Kathy talking here, so I will.
That's okay.
That keeps us going.
That's okay. It is definitely okay.
Okie dokie. Kathy. Well, thank you so. Yeah. Thank you.
Real quick before you go, you are on my Facebook social network, right?
Yeah, we just connected.
Thought so. Okay, I want to make sure that was you. I want to make
that
sure I connect the right Kathy to Dina. Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so.
Well, you have a great evening, Kathy.
Kathy, make it a great night.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, take care.
All right. Remember, you're love to life, Kathy.
I was going to say on that note when. I think Johnny said he's from Louisiana, I think, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And I was going to say, I volunteer for American Red Cross, and I have for going on almost 6 years now, and I've been to Louisiana a couple of times for disasters. So you never know. And I've been down south in California, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and things like that for Red Cross for volunteering. So maybe our paths have met.
You never know, exactly. Yeah,
I've
done quite a bit of travel. You have, believe it or not, I said this at the outset of the show. Time flies, and we are actually into the last half hour of the show already.
Okay.
Is that not incredible? what? Wow. You have been a powerhouse of information. Your strength and poise in sharing this with us, and as I jokingly said, in a snide kind of way, though, I sure am glad we're on radio and we don't have a dress code, because I'm not prepared to be seen in front of a camera anymore. My joke is always my hair is a mess, but I can't use that as an excuse because I have a bald head, so it happens out. But so let's if we may, if it's okay with you. Let's kind of move forward some. I mean, wow. And again, this is your show, your time, and it's not unheard of to have a special guest come back and be a special guest again when they have, you know, if they don't have to get everything out. So don't think that if you miss anything tonight, oh, God, I missed this or I missed that. Don't worry about it. We are here. But, I see you dealt with some bullying in school. I guess you kind of included that in your story as you were sharing it with us.
Yeah.
Harassment in the workforce. So that sounds like as you into your adult life, did you find that this actually propelled? Because as did I. You and I are again. We're gonna have to do a DNA check to see if we have any connection. Because I'm telling you, it's like, wait a minute, Dina had my mother. This is wild. But go ahead.
Small world.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and my father's roots, my last name on my father's side, as I've done my DNA background, actually have roots in the Wisconsin area,
not in the
Chicago area, but in the Wisconsin area. The Steppers are a very strong name up in that area. But anyway, go ahead.
Wow, definitely wow. Small world. I wanted just to be a little more open to and try to explain, you know, a few more things and then just read a poem or two before the end of the show. I want to, you know, express my appreciation for allowing me to be on your show and taking the time to arrange everything to have me on your show. And I really, really appreciate your time and generous, you know, and willingness to say, hey, I'm going to talk to this woman. I don't know who she is, but we're going to go from here and let the world know that you can break stigmas and statistics, and you don't have to be a number, and you don't have to live your life in a rut. You know, you just keep moving forward, and every time, like you mentioned before, one step back, and I mentioned like a mile back, but you can keep going forward. And I don't always have great days. I don't always have perfect, wonderful peaches and cream days. I have my moments. I have my days where I'm depressed. For some reason, I don't know why, but I always think of suicide, and I've been like that forever because it's just, I have tendencies, I have thoughts when things are so bad, because then it takes me back to where I was. So I have to fight those feelings. So I had to learn a lot about my mental illness. I had to learn a lot about my strength and my courage, because I have come a long way. And I lost two babies who are in heaven. And I finally, after, oh my God, so many 20-something years, I finally gave them a name last year. So my daughter's name is Sabrina, and my son's name is Sebastian. And I finally gave them names and let them rest peacefully with God now instead of in limbo. You know, so that took a lot of years to come to realize God loves me. I'm not very religious, but I believe in God. And in 2015 was my last suicide attempt, and God was there. Within seconds before I ended it all, God was there. My twin sister was there. So I'm living proof that we have courage and strength within us. We just got to find it. And if we can't find it, somebody else can help you find it.
Well, I want to tell you, you not only have a guardian angel, you have an army of angels up there. And I am just so glad to hear that. And one of the blessings I have as being the host is I'm able to see all the contact information for everyone who calls in. And if it's okay with you, I will jot down your number, and we can have further conversations if you'd like.
Because
definitely
at the same time that you're offering your willingness to talk to others, I want you to know that others are here for you to talk to as well. And I'd be a delighted and blessed to be one of those others. If you've had an opportunity, and I will say this to our listeners as well, both now and in the future, if you're looking for someone to talk to and you can't find anyone, please get on the NASCA's website, naasca.org. In there, you will find contact numbers for all of us who are hosts and co-hosts on the show and our ambassadors and people all around the country and, believe it or not, around the world. NASCA has a global reach. So we're all here, and many of us have our phone numbers there and or our email addresses. Feel free to reach out. And like you did, you offered that to us, Dina. I needed to make sure that you knew that that was there for you as well from your NASCA family. Because today you just gained a brother, Charlie, who's a nut from Pennsylvania.
Well, I so appreciate you letting me be on your show and giving me that information to reach out. I don't know if I know I'm not the only one, but I think that it's so much easier for me to help people. I volunteer with Red Cross. I volunteer with 3 different suicide centers in my community. I volunteer with a school district in my community. I volunteer with NAMI, which is National Alliance on Mental Illness, and I tell my story through them. And so I'm always a giver, 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 take care of everybody. And I was a single mom for the longest time, and so it was always hard for me to ask for help. It was always hard for me to turn to people, even when it's the worst day, because it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to be a burden to somebody else. I don't want to, you know, say this and that, and they're not going to understand, you know. And I am still that way to this day. I have a hard time reaching out to people when I'm having an off day, but I definitely appreciate your offering your kind words in giving me a chance to be able to say, hey, you're there for me, and I very much appreciate that.
And I will assure you with not even a moment's hesitation that everyone else in this NASCA family, both on air listening tonight and or not, if our phone numbers are on that website, we are here for you and anyone else that needs us. And you know, you thanked us numerous times, me numerous times, for allowing you to come on the show. We didn't allow you to come on the show. You allowed us to have the pleasure of being here with you for your story. So thank you for allowing us to be the platform that you began to share what you share with us tonight. And some things, as you said, were things you hadn't spoken about anywhere else. So I believe the thank you goes to you for helping us make this special guest show to this evening by you being our special guest.
Well, thank you very much too for those words. I'm very humbled and honored, and I want to be a public speaker so bad. I mean, I'm a motivational speaker when it comes to like NAMI, and I tell my story, and I've done it at churches and things like that. But what I really want to do in my life, if anybody's got a clue, really want to be an inspirational, motivational speaker that goes around the world and talks to people to help tell my story, to help give them courage, hope, and find their strength. So that's one of my biggest goals right now, is hopefully finding the right connections, finding the right people to help me get on that journey so that I can continue helping more people as I go. I think God has me here for that reason. And I haven't gotten this far in life without hard work and dedication. And I'm telling you, even though I've been through so much, I have 3 wonderful daughters I love so much. I cannot imagine loving more than ever. And raising them, part of it was all on my own as a single mom. I really worked hard to prevent physical, emotional, and mental abuse for them, because I couldn't imagine doing onto my children what was done onto me. So that always kept me going, is don't do onto your children what's been done onto you. Don't. So that always stayed in my mind as they were growing up, because being there is all I cared about, and loving them and help and guide them and support them. And I'm not perfect at it. I definitely wasn't perfect at it. I made a lot of mistakes. But thank God, I still to this day say thank you, God, for blessing me with three beautiful daughters and the two babies in heaven that I lost. I love them too. And I'm just grateful that God has borrowed me, my three daughters, because now they're adults, they're respectful, they work, they take care of their business, and they don't break the law, they don't go and hurt other people, they're giving, they're caring, and even though we have our moments as mother and children, you know, do, I know that they know that their mom loves them, and it's an amazing feeling that I have, because I have the relationship with my children that I don't have with my own mother, which I have always been jealous of, because, God, I wish I had that. I wish I could have had somebody mm-hmm. to love me like I'm loving my children. I wish that I could have gone to bed knowing that my mom really loved me. But it's like I turn it around and I think, oh, my God, I'm still so lucky to have my daughters. And I can't imagine life without them. And I can't imagine life without my grandchildren and my boyfriend. And
mm-hmm. Well, I want to hear. While I agree that your daughters are, you know, you're lucky to have your daughters, I'm going to say it this way. I believe that you are blessed to have your daughters, and your daughters are blessed to have you. So,
well, I hope they all believe that. I hope they all feel that way, because I know I'm not perfect at it.
Well, I was going to say, what do you mean you're not perfect? You mean you're human? Oh, no. When did that happen?
I am. I'm definitely me. I'm definitely me. And I'm still learning about me and trying to just keep going forward.
That wasn't supposed to happen, being a human being. We're supposed to be superhuman.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that one day, you know, even if I'm on my deathbed or whatever, that my kids will just look at me and realize how much I care and love them and would do anything for them if possible and be proud
mm-hmm.
of me. I want them to just be proud of their mom for the things that I've accomplished and I continue doing, because, God, I love them so much. It's amazing to be able to love them.
Absolutely. I'm going to guess that they already have all that, Mom. But I will be, I'm going to put, if it's okay with you, I do a lot of praying. I won't be praying now on the air, but if it's okay with you, I'm going to be praying about your relationship with your father, and
that
if that's okay with you, and also your relationship with that you would not have to wait until your last gasp of breath on earth to hear your children say the things that you long to hear and feel, that you would be able to have those sooner. And I relate to your dad's story, because I too sought the same things from my dad. And fortunately, just literally weeks before he was taken from us here on Earth, we were able to overcome almost 50 years of heartache and pain. And so when he was called from the Earth, I was able to have closure. So I will be praying mm-hmm. in that vein for you as
Thank
well.
You.
And possibly
so
even your mother. I mean, I'm still to this day in touch with my mother. I keep her very distant. Again, like you said, toxicity. I don't want to put my hand near the poison. But what I
mm-hmm.
what I do is I treat her like a campfire, okay? And I've shared this with other
mm-hmm.
people. And maybe this will help you. I treat her like a campfire, which means I keep her at a distance where she looks kind of inviting and warm. But I know if
right.
I get too close, I'm going to get burnt. So I don't get too
yeah.
close. I just keep her that. So we get the occasional once every few months of her call, you know, or whatever.
Uh-huh. Well, if I had,
and
if
I control,
you know, you're the one that has to, because otherwise it's, you know, toxic too close, and then,
yep.
you know, memories come back flowing, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this or that, and like, whoa, I need to step back. You know, I have come to the realization, though, that my mother has a mental illness. She had prescription addiction, and things. So I understand that. And because I've been on my own journey to recovery and to live in recovery, because to me, recovery is an everyday thing. It's not just you're done and it's over. It's a lifelong journey. And
a process?
Pardon?
I said it's a journey and a process. Absolutely. I do want to throw this in there for you. We are down to about 9 minutes. I want to make sure we get your poems in there. And
I'm going to do that, definitely.
Okay. Well, I know that was one of, and I want to make you aware, make our listening audience aware. Sometimes we do go over, and Dina, so you're aware, if we go beyond the hour and a half, we can keep going. It's just that the listening audience live cuts off at the hour and a half mark, but the taping will continue to go on so that future people can listen to it. But I wanted to make sure we had that time poetry. Would it be okay? We still have two panelists with us. I know our one told us she had to move on. Can we bring them in for another shot real quick? Or do you want to do – how about you do your poems first, and then we'll bring them at the end so they can expound on your poetry and what you shared with us. Go ahead. Shoot. Let's go.
Okay.
Here we go.
And I'm not going to –
poetry by
Okay. My book is called Open Box Poetry on Amazon. And the poem that I'm going to read from my book is The Difference Between Me and Cinderella. And I'm going to probably read the poems fast since time is limited now. And I'm so sorry for going way over with my story. I just don't want people to feel alone or
Dina,
think that they can't, accomplish things.
You owe no apology. And you take your time with your poetry. Like I said, even if the show ends live, it still is all taped. And people can come back and listen to it wherever they want to. So you take your time. No one's rushing you.
Okay. The difference between me and Cinderella. Being abused and in the corner, what is there to do? Got punished again for not listening. Oh, how does it feel to not be beaten black and blue? My legs hurt so badly in this corner standing. It seems like I've been in this corner forever. My mother continues to call me hateful names. Doesn't like me for being alive today, nor for that matter, ever. As I stare up above me, I don't see many family pictures on the wall in frames. How is it that I get beaten so badly to where this corner has become my only friend? I secretly whisper my underlying confessions to the crease in the wall, wiggling and wiggling from the pain in my legs as my knees try to bend. If only these walls could whisper to me that I'm not in this by myself at all. I try and try to pretend I'm okay, for if my mother heard me say a word or even cry, I'd be standing much longer in this corner, call my loyal friend who keeps my secrets. There's not a day that goes by that I understand her hatred for me or even the why, for my mother should have just killed me when she had the chance when I was just a fetus. Her hitting me and calling me names puts a heavy, bloody axe within my brain. Some days I hide in my room for fear of her in the only corner of the house I know. My heart feels empty and uncontrollably heavy with fire running through my veins. For if I were to tell anyone of her abusive ways, I'd be tortured when I get home. This corner is my only friend to tell my innermost secrets to even when I pray. Some days I tell myself it'll be okay because the next day may be a little better. For my mother may not abuse me tomorrow, if only I do as she tells me to do today. I'm like her Cinderella. I'm to do everything for her to make her life better. Chores and more at her beck and call whenever she wants things done. The difference between myself and Cinderella is that I am ugly and will not get the prince. For my mother tells me that I'm ugly, stupid, and I won't be anything for I'm no one. Being told over and over that she wishes I was dead because I'm a hindrance. How is it that I get beaten badly to where this corner has become my only friend? I secretly whisper my underlying confession to the crease in the wall, wiggling and wiggling from the pain in my legs as my knees try to bend. If only these walls could whisper to me that I'm not in this by myself at all. For my mother wasn't a happy person and would continue to beat on me. I'd be in the corner asking why me and would get no answers as it hurt to stand, often wondering what the answers were for why she hated it and despised me. As years passed, sometimes in the corner I grew up and wanted out of her abusive hands. Cinderella had an upbringing of chores and a dissatisfying life, including losing her parents. I had chores, punishments, and abuse, but no one to count on.
Cinderella worked for her cruel stepmother, as she had no family, not even grandparents. For my own parents didn't seem to have faith in me, as I had to move on. Nightmare visions of myself standing in a corner, dependent my childhood dreams, dampened my childhood dreams of a happier home, so I end up leaving. Unhappy memories I hope to eventually recover. The difference between me and Cinderella is that I'm not living an animated fairy tale where I'll eventually find a prince, for this is my real life, and I'm still healing.
Wow.
Sorry if I read that too fast. I was trying not to, but...
I think you paced it exactly right. I was hanging on every word and feeling it. Powerful message there. And I want to thank our panel for staying on with us. We are going to go a little over, and that's absolutely fine. So our listening audience, we got about 5 minutes left of airtime live. And I do invite you to come and listen, because I got a feeling Dina already delivered one powerful piece of her written work with us, and I'm certain the next one's going to be just as powerful. So stick with me, Johnny and Elizabeth, even as we go past the hour and a half mark, because I definitely want to give you an opportunity to, please, at your leisure, at your pace, share what you will with us.
Okay, the next poem is called Mother, Father. Mother and Father, you have given me life. While growing up, I thought you were always right. Mother, with your hurtful hands blocking your way, you could not see me. Father, you were gone, so much working hard to financially support us. I always wondered where you were in order to protect me. In what way, Father? I did not know. But as I look deep within myself, now I know. You were here and there in silence. It does not make these feelings any easier. When you'd finally come home, you'd be too tired to notice how much Mother had hurt me. Voices were silent for fear of the wrong touch. My eyes were so heavy with tears swollen shut. For Father, if you would have seen me, you may have noticed just how far I was cried and drained out. Mother, you hurt me in so many ways you may not have seen. And to let you know, Mother, I could not see you either. You blinded me and covered me in hateful feelings that I still hold. Way long ago, I did not know. But as I go through each of my new days, I can understand I must go on. Your hands hurt me and your words so powerful I did believe. My body still trembles, is achy and tingly with thoughts of all you continue to do to me. Father, I was so scared and alone, just wondering where you had gone. Unsure of when and if you would come back, I searched so far for so long. I thought you could protect me from such harm. Oh, how I was so wrong. To have had the chance to call you Dad would have been nice. But Father, what is a dad to you? For Mother and Father, I can see now that the meaning of Mom and Dad is not what I had. Child in an adult body. For now, I can see that it was not me, but my mother and father, who were not my mom and dad. This is me now with the child still in me, expressing what you've taught me, and that's how not to be. So I thank you for at least being my mother and father, for I am stronger without a mom and dad.
Wow. And was that were you finished with that poem? Or that,
yes.
Was that the entirety?
Yes, I got to.
I'm telling you, you did great. And I only ask that because we still have time left on the show. So let's go ahead and get the Johnny... Elizabeth, back on. Elizabeth, we're going to bring you on first. You are back on with Dina, Elizabeth.
Those poems were incredibly powerful, and I have to tell you, I did find you on Facebook, so I put in a friend request. I hope that's okay.
Yes,
also, I run a nonprofit in Minnesota called Empower Survivors, and I put a link on our public page to your book on Amazon. So I hope you don't mind.
Thank
I put
you.
You as a survivor spotlight.
Thank
so
you so much. I appreciate that. That's
absolutely.
Very kind of you to do.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for tonight. I really appreciate
thank
it. It
you.
Was great
thank
to meet
you. Thank
you
for being here. Great to meet
absolutely.
You. And thank you for being here too.
Absolutely. If you're ever in Minnesota, look me up.
I will. Thank you for the friend request too.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, I truly appreciate you being here tonight with us. Thank you for your previous work with NASCA, and thank you for coming back on and being here tonight with us as a panelist, and we look forward to hearing more from you. Take care, and know that you're definitely in my thoughts and prayers, and I truly appreciate you being here this evening.
Thank
you,
it was a joy.
Thank you.
Great to be with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to Johnny Rock, who's been patiently waiting. Johnny, you're back on with Dina.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, hi. I just want to thank you for your time, Dina. Nice to meet you. I was unable to send you a friend request on Facebook because I'm at my limit, which is crazy. I don't know why they have a limit. But I am following you, and I look forward to getting to know you through social media. And
thank you.
Just want to again thank you very much for your time and good night, Charlie, and good night, Elizabeth, and good night to our listeners. Thank you so much, Dina.
Good night, Johnny. Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye bye.
And Johnny, bye-bye. just some inside information broadcast to the public. I understand about that limit, and what I do occasionally, I'll just go in. You might do this too. It's a pain in the neck, but you can go through, and you have to actually go through your entire friend list, but you might find accounts that have stuffed themselves down that are still on your list, and even if they close their account, they still count in your friend list for some reason, so you just have to unfriend that account, and then you'll have space.
Yeah, I've done that before. It's just time-consuming. You know, it's a scrolling.
Yes.
Scrolling,
right? Oh, it's hideous. They need to streamline that, but maybe we'll come up with it and we'll sell it to Zuckerberg and we'll make millions so we can help all of us out. But Johnny, once again, I really appreciate you being here with me tonight, Johnny, and your support. And Johnny, Dina is an amazing gentleman, and I'm going to use the word I don't use for very many men. He's a beautiful person. So Johnny, we love you and appreciate you, brother.
Love you too, Charlie.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you.
Dina, you have been a joy to have as a special guest. As I said before, as the preface before we started the show, when I spoke to you, that, you know, I look forward to the day, and I really truly do, that we can't find anybody to be on the show as a special guest because they don't exist. Because we've been able to stop this scourge of childhood
atrocities.
That would
be nice.
That, you know, but in that time frame,
nice.
And while we still have people coming on tonight, you blessed us by accepting our offer to come on and being willing to share. And you tonight had me bring out something that I had not shared anywhere publicly. I hadn't talked
thank
about it.
Thank you so very much for. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength. The reason why I'm always saying courage and strength is because I just believe in it so much, and it takes a lot for a person to open up.
And I'm in agreement with you. And I hadn't actually talked about that. Let's see. I mean, geez, I was 20. Yeah, I went to the military at 19. I think I was 22 the last time I went to bed. And, you know, I'm 57 years young now. So I hadn't talked about it in 35 years. It wasn't easy having that challenge being on board a ship with, you know, other men. And, you know, right. I would always try to get the bottom bunk because I knew I had the problem. Sometimes I couldn't get the bottom bunk. Sometimes, you know, my shipmates, you know, had some unpleasant things they woke up to. And praise God that they didn't do to me what others did to me when I was struggling at home with it. But
right. Well, thank you for sharing and trusting in us to share that with us. And thank you for your service as well. I have the utmost respect for our military, so I definitely appreciate your time in the military.
All right. Well, Dina, once again, you have been just a pleasure to share with. I felt your pain. I feel your victory. And I do encourage
our listeners,
go to Amazon, get on Amazon. And if you have a nonprofit you want to support, go to Amazon Smile, because when you order through that, they will send money to that nonprofit, a portion of your what you buy. But get on there and look up Open Box. Yes, yeah. Look up Open Box Poetry. That's Open Box, B-O-F-E-D, Poetry by Dina Culver. Now, you may see it as Deanna because it's D-E-A-N-N-A, but it's pronounced Dina Culver. And please support Dina by buying a copy of her book. And once you get it, share it with others and encourage them to buy one. Dina, you have been a pleasure to have here this evening. I am blessed to hear that you have some peace in your life now. The gentleman you mentioned that's in your life you're sharing with, thank goodness for him. Your children, most importantly, thank goodness for you being who you are and being where you are today.
Thank you so much. It feels so nice to hear positive feedback. So I'm doing something right, you know. But I encourage anybody, you can find your courage and strength. And if you need help, you need to talk to anybody, please reach out to me.
All right. Well, I do need to wrap the show up, Dina. Mm-hmm. You've been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful special guest. I truly appreciate you. And the arms of your NASCA family are reaching to their left shoulder and reaching to their right shoulder and giving you that hug that we want you to feel out there in Wisconsin.
Thank you.
As are you're very welcome. As are your platoon of angels that you have up there. Man, I need to get me a few more. But I actually have a child that was taken home early as well. So I also have one of my children. I didn't have the pleasure of knowing whether he was a boy or a girl, but I know it was an angel that was brought to the earth for a period of time, and God called them home before it was my time to know who they were. But with that,
well, I thank you for sharing that, and I'm sorry that happened too. Chin over you, though.
Absolutely. So, Dina, with that, I do need to wrap the show up. Again, once again, thank you. I truly appreciate
you.
Our listeners who I know now, if you're listening, you're very, very welcome, and thank you. Our listeners who I know now, if you are listening to this portion, you've come back and listened to the archived version, I want to thank you. If you were on the show and you wanted to catch the last 5-10 minutes when we went all over, thank you for coming back on. Dina was able to get both of her poems in while the show was still live on air. That was awesome. We want to remind all of our listeners, both today listeners and in the future, that if you need anybody to talk to any time of the day or night, I can tell you I am available at all times, and you can find my phone number on NASCA's website, and my last name is Stecker, first name Charlie Charles. And with that, I will close out this evening's Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And as I do each show that I close out, I remind each and every one of us that the only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night, and God bless one and all.
Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.